So good to be here. Those of you who don't know, my name is Victor. I'm very privileged to be allowed to do a lot of stuff in the church. I don't know why Pastor Alan and Ella let me, but they're generous. It is good. As you can tell, I wasn't born in New Zealand, but I've been here long enough now that it feels like home and I have no interest in going back. So please, Lord, don't send me. Don't want to do that. Hey, so good to have you here this morning. Who of you were at church when I preached the first sermon of the year? Oh, there were a couple of you. That's good. Have you all made your notes good? Just checking. 29th of January. That's it. So if you weren't there, who takes notes? Are you a note taker? Those who weren't there, the rest, make a note quickly. We're going to start off just right down. 29th of January. Put it in your notes if you're doing that. 29th of January. So what's happening on the 29th of January is I'm going on a motorbike trip down the South Island. There's been a lot of rain. I hope that stops. There's a few roads closed. But yeah, I'm going on a motorbike trip for 2.5 weeks or so and can't wait. I'm excited. I lie in bed at night thinking, what have I still got to pack? What have I got to do? And last night I lay in bed and remembered something, but I've already forgotten. I should make notes. But it's all the excitement. I've bought a little shower. Who's used a portable shower? Solar one outside. I hope they're good. I just got a cheap one at Warehouse. We'll see if it works. I bought it more as a joke. You fill it with water. Apparently you light in the sun. And then we'll see how it goes. Someone did warn me they get pretty hot. So I'll see if we can have a hot shower. That'll impress the lads. There's about 10 of us going. I'm super excited about that. So 29th of January, remember that. Don't be calling me. I won't be around. There's another really important date, and that's basically the end of February. We move into our house. So my wife and I are pretty excited. Oh, why didn't you clap for the motorbike trip? That's disappointing. You're obviously not motorbike riders. Really exciting. So that's another date that we're quite excited about. And so when I spoke at church about 2 weeks ago, I started off with a scripture verse, and I'll read it to you again this morning, Matthew 24, verse 36. It says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as it was in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, there was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. There will be two men in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left." And so I spoke about that. You know, are we expecting the return of Christ? I'm expecting this trip to happen. I'm getting all excited about it. I dared today for the first time to look at the 14-day weather forecast because it's 2 weeks away. So I sort of want to see what the weather's doing. We've planned where our furniture, well, my wife's planned where the furniture's going to go and everything. I tried to mention where to put the pots and she just laughed. I said, no, they're not going there. So I'll leave that to her. But, you know, we've done all of this effort towards those dates. But what do we do about the date that we don't know? And that's the return of Christ. So let's pray, and then I'm going to share the word with you this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are here this morning, just like you are over at City, over at Coast, just like you are in this entire land, just like you are inside of every one of us that have accepted you. Lord Jesus, we are so honored to be your sons and daughters. We're so honored that you've forgiven us, that you've washed us clean. And we're even more honored that we can know you and have a relationship with you. And I pray today that as we look at your word and as we talk about a few things, that you really stir inside our hearts and change us. We do not want to be the same. God, we never want to come before the word of God and leave the same. We want it to change us. And so I pray right now, bring your anointing. Let whatever I say bring credit to your name, not take credit away from you. God, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what I want to speak about today is obviously not what I spoke about then because a lot of you were there. But, you know, how are you living for that date? Are you living in a way that shows that you're expecting the return of Christ? What I want to talk to you today about is sort of similar though. Are you excited about that day? You know, I'm pretty excited. Ron's excited. Maybe that's because it's a lot closer for you. We hope it's close for us too. Ron's a legend. And if you ever aren't sure about the return of Christ, talk to him. He'll make you excited. But you know, I'm really excited about my trip. Everything I do, when I've got a break, I was doing work this week somewhere and I had a bit of a break and I wandered into Torpedo 7 and walked out with a dry bag because you need to keep yourself dry in case it rains. And so I'm excited about it and I'm doing stuff all the time for this date. And my wife's as excited, and we're getting furniture and this, because apparently you can't move into a new house with old furniture. Did it work like that, Ashley? I don't know if that's true. I think she's conned me, but she's been working multiple jobs just to buy furniture for the house. And so we're all excited about that date, and we're doing stuff for it. And it made me think, the return of Christ, are we excited about that date? You know, what do we, you know, when last we did you, can you honestly say, I mean, I go to bed at night, like I said, and I think about my trip. When last did you go to bed and think, man, the return of Christ is going to be so good. I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, because I don't often think about that. I think about people maybe who don't know the Lord, and I think about work I got to do, or mundane stuff, or how am I going to sort that out, or what's going to happen there, or when's my next preach. But how often do you just shut your eyes and think, man, imagine the return of Christ. I'm going to actually see Jesus face to face. I'm going to be in his presence. How often do we do that? Some of you are a little bit older, and you'll remember when that used to be the main thing preached in church, the return of Christ, and it's going to happen. And, you know, I remember just praying, Lord, please let me just get married before you come back. Well, that was a long time ago. I must say, I think being engaged done great for Nathaniel and Catherine. They were awesome today. Weren't they good? Give them a hand, actually. I think worship was good. I think the ring on her fingers even changed her voice. It just sounded great, man. Well done. It was great. So, yeah, you know, just how excited are we about the return of Christ? About those things coming. And so, today I want to just sort of follow on from that a little bit and talk about a few things. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture, so I hope you enjoy the Word of God. Anyone enjoy the Word of God? Yeah, I love the Word of God, and I think we can all learn to love it even more. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, out of the New Living Translation, says, "Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." Well, I'm not convinced we all feel the same. Who of you are really excited to be away from your earthly body? Don't put your hand up. Well, you know, we read that and we just move on to the next verse. But that's what the Bible says. We are fully confident. We'd rather be away from these bodies and be with the Lord. Now, I know, you know, there's family and loved ones and there's still stuff for us to do. So I don't want us to get sort of bent to the thing, well, we've got to be away from you. But just how confident are you that it's better to be away from this body than it is to be in this body? I believe that we would not fear death if we were that confident about it happening, and we shouldn't. So today I've got two parts of my sermon, and the first one is let us just really grow the excitement for the return of Christ. And then the second one is that we would just learn to know Jesus, that when we get there, we know who he is and we can recognize him and he recognizes us. So those are the two parts. So number one, the first part, in Psalm 73 verse 25, the psalmist writes, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth." Well, there's a little test for us. You know, do we really desire God more than we desire anything on earth? I mean, we're busy building a house, and we go over there every day. Some days I've done nothing, some days I've done something, and man, I'm so excited to get in there. We've imagined where everything's going already and what we're going to do. We haven't thought much about the garden because neither of us are green fingers. But, you know, we've imagined all of that and we're really excited about it. Do I treasure God and love God way more than that? Man, what a question. And it's something each of us need to be asking ourselves. What on earth do you treasure or hold more important than God? There should be nothing. But I believe because we don't see God and we see all these things around us, we're so much more excited about them. And so there's a question each one of us can ask, you know, whom in heaven have I but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. And so I believe we constantly have to hold in tension the things that we desire. I'm excited about this motorbike trip, but I should be more excited that Christ may return before that. And that should be the attitude that is in my heart. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you." If you've ever been thirsty and you really just want a drink, you know how desperate you are for that drink. Is that how your soul feels about God? I put in my notes here and I wasn't sure if I was allowed to say it. If that was the case, you'd be at church every single Sunday. And I'm preaching to the converted. You're all here already, so you don't need to hear this. But anyone listening on the podcast, you should have been here. But just an attitude, you know, just an attitude about the things of God. You know, as the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. And nothing will stop you getting to that water. Nothing will hinder you. Nothing will become more important than getting to that water. So how do you feel this morning about that? So Philippians 1 verse 21 says, Paul speaking, he says, he's talking to the Philippians, he says, for me, living means Christ, but dying is even better. That's what Paul says, dying is even better, because then I won't be anymore, I'll be with Jesus. Well, I haven't heard any of you say that, and I certainly haven't said that. Dying is actually better than living, that's what Paul says. Now, I know we have stuff to do, and we're here for a purpose and a reason, but you get the heart of what I'm saying. We should really be excited about that day when we're going to be with Christ. Jared spoke last week on a verse that we all know well, and that was a great message. If you weren't there, you need to go and listen to the podcast. Matthew 13 verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Is the kingdom of God and the things of God, are they that important to you that you prepare to give up everything for that? There's another verse which to me has always been one of the most challenging verses in the Bible, really, when it comes to money and things like that. In Luke chapter 18, verse 22, the young wealthy man had come to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And so he was saying, what do I need to do to be saved and to be able to go into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said to him, well, you have to obey the commandments. Don't steal, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery. And he said, oh, I've done all of those. And then this is what Jesus says in verse 22. It says, when Jesus heard his answer, he said to him, there is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. Isn't it interesting? What would you and I have done if he came to us and said, what do I need to do to get in the kingdom of heaven? I know what the majority of us would have done. Well, get on your knees quickly. Let's pray the salvation prayer. That's not what Jesus said. He said, obey the commandments. He said, well, I've done that. He said, well, I've got one more thing then. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and just come follow me. No salvation prayer. No, accept Jesus. None of that. What are you prepared to give up and sell for the kingdom of God? What price have you put on the kingdom of God? What price have I put on it? Am I prepared to give up everything for the kingdom? Some tough questions, and I know we need to answer them carefully. Just how excited are you about heaven? You know, in John 14 verse 2, Jesus speaking, and he says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my presence. How excited are we about going to that place? Have you thought about it? You know, I can close my eyes. I can see my lounge. I can see the dining room, the bedroom, where we're going to put everything. I can see the garage, how good I'm going to pack it so the motorbike fits in. What about heaven? Have you just imagined what it's going to be like? What kind of place is God preparing? What kind of place is Jesus preparing? When last have you done that? And I think we need to be way more excited about that than we are about our earthly house. We need to be really working towards that and making sure we keep that in our for the forefront of our minds. It's not something we do, but it's something we should be doing. I'm remembering that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. You know, how excited I am about Christ returning should change the way I live now, should change my attitude, should change the way I live now and make me different. It should change how I give. It should change the fact that I come to church, that I want to be with other Christians. It should change the fact what I do with my neighbors, the people in my street. Do they know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for them? If they get saved, they can come there. Right, and then number two, the second part of it, is just know Jesus. Now, I wrote in my notes, and we sang a song about it this morning, I said, know Jesus more. And we sang a song, I want to know you more. But then I thought about it, I don't know if there's any English teachers here, but I took the word more out, because if I want to know Jesus more, it means I know him some already. And I think there's so much to know about Jesus that I know nothing. And so I dropped the word more. I just want to know Jesus, because what I know is so insignificant and so small. I need to know a lot more. I need to know who Jesus is. A verse that to me is one of the most frightening verses in the Bible. In Matthew 7:22, it says, "Many will say to me on that day," and this is Jesus speaking, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?" I think just those three things cuts out a lot of us already. But that's what they said they did. And then it says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You know, I want to get to heaven and I want Jesus to know who I am. More than that, I want to know who Jesus is. I want to recognize him. I want him to recognize me. I want to know his voice. And we need to make sure we're doing whatever we can now to know Jesus. And it's amazing. Who of you have read your Bibles this morning already? I'll just check in. I read this morning and thought, man, that was good. That'll fit in with my sermon. I used to sort of think on Sundays, you don't have to read your Bible, you're going to church. But I've changed my attitude now. I want to read it every day. And I'm disciplined. And it's a good habit to form. And you can form a habit. Any of you got bad habits? Oh, come on, everyone's got bad habits. If you can make bad habits, you can make good habits. And I want to challenge you, make a habit of reading the Word. Do something. But anyway, Romans chapter 5, that was just for free. Romans chapter 5, in verse 11, it says, "So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God." Isn't that amazing? We can have a relationship. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Isn't that amazing? We can know God now. We can know Jesus right now. You know, Philippians 3 verse 10 has long been one of my favorite verses. It says, "I want to know Christ." And I've often sort of mentioned that part. Paul says, "That I may know him." He wrote half the New Testament. And he just says, "That I may know him." He wanted way more. He wanted to know him more. But lately, I've been reading the rest of that verse, and it says, "And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death." So there's three things there. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the suffering and fellowship with suffering. And those, we always leave those two out. And for me, that's one of my biggest challenges this year. I want to believe for the power that resurrected Christ from the dead to be evident to me. There's some folk I know in church over in city that have got some illness that's permanent in their lives, and doctors have got not good answers and outcome for them. And I've gone to them and said, "Man, I'm believing that every time I touch you, the power of God is going to change you. And I'm waiting for the day when they stop me and go, 'What did you just do?' Because they're going to be healed." You know, we need to live with an expectation that these signs and wonders that were spoken about are going to happen when we live for Christ. And so I want to make sure I know him, and I want to live with the power of his resurrection. I've heard people say, "Oh, you know, I've never seen anyone healed." I say, "Well, how many have you prayed for?" Normally I go, "Well, no, none." Just start praying for them. It's not your fault if they don't get healed. You need to just keep believing and just do it. And you don't have to get all spiritual about it. You don't have to pray for 20 minutes. You know, a blind guy came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "I want to see." And Jesus just touched him. And the Bible says, and he saw. You don't need to pray for half an hour. You need to just believe that it's going to happen. But getting back to this, we just really need to learn to know Jesus. You know, my desire is that much like Moses. If you read the story of Moses, what amazes me is how he spoke to God as a man speaks to a man. He even asked to see God, and God revealed himself to him, and he covered him, and he saw it. You know, I've just recently met a young guy who's a Hindu, and so I've been asking him all the questions. We're in the car lots traveling, and I've been talking to him and asking him, "Well, what do you believe?" And he'll ask back, "What do you believe?" I mean, that's a normal question. If you say, "What do you believe?" and he'll say, "Then it's, and you?" And then you've got to answer him. And I told him a little bit about church, and he said, "Oh, can I come?" I said, "Yeah, of course you can." Anyway, later that day, we're getting out of the car, and he says, "You should come to my church." And I went, "Wow, that's quite something." And so I'm going to go. I'm going to, in the next few weeks, I'm going to try and maybe after my motorbike trip, I'm going to go to his church. How can we expect our people to go to our church if we won't go there? And I think of all the things I've told him a little about church. I mean, I've spoken to him, they sing, and someone reads, I don't know what the name of their book is, not, they don't do the Quran, that's the other ones, but they read something, someone might know what it is, he had some name, his English is not that great, and then they have food. So I mean, it sounds like church. And so we got talking, but I think the thing that has probably amazed him the most is that I said, I speak to God, and that God speaks to me. And he went, no way. He said, really? And I said, yeah. And I was hoping he didn't go, okay, well, tell me right now what's God saying. I'm like, well, don't do that, boy. But, you know, it made me think that we really need to be listening a lot more. Pastor Alan always says God is talking a lot more than you and I are listening. The only way I can say it to you is I don't think I have, but obviously I've got quite a distinctive voice because there's people I can phone, and when they hear my voice, they go, oh, it's you, Victor, I can hear you. Now, if I phoned you, of course, nowadays with caller ID, it's not that easy because you can see who it is when they call you if the number's saved in your phone. But if I called you the first time on a phone, you go, oh, maybe, I think is that you, Victor? But if I called you enough and I called you every day, after a week, you wouldn't have to say, is that, you just know who it is. And I want to tell you with God, it's exactly the same. The first time God speaks to you, you might go, nah, that was just me. Nah, that was my own voice. That wasn't God. But you got to keep listening. And after a while, that voice will become, yeah, I can recognize that. I know that is God speaking. Normally, the first time you'll get all sweaty and hot and your pulse will rise and you'll be nervous and you'll feel all hot and you're going, nah, that was just me. No ways, God wouldn't say that. And but once you start acting on it and doing something, God starts to move. I'll just give you an example. So I'm still not at that point where I'm hearing it that clearly that I can go, yep, bang on, I know. So before the service, while we were worshiping, I sort of felt God saying something. Like, no, but I'm going to do it now anyway. I just really felt God saying that there are many of us here who need to forgive other people. And so just close your eyes quickly. Let's just close our eyes. God was saying that there are many of us here who need to forgive people. And sometimes it's easier to forgive people who are a little bit far away, that person at work or that person you bumped into in the supermarket or that cashier that was rude or that guy that took your parking. It's easier to forgive them. But God was clearly saying this morning there are people a lot closer to home. You know, it's a lot harder to forgive a parent who maybe hasn't brought you up the way you feel you should have been brought up. And so right now, just as your eyes are closed, just say, God, who is there in my life that I need to forgive? You know, the Bible clearly says, and it was funny, last night I felt when I was preparing this, I thought I need to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. But one of the parts of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who forgive that have sinned against us. And so today I really believe, and that just confirms what I've heard this morning, what God's saying, that you will not be forgiven if you do not forgive. And so right now just ask God, who is there in my life that I need to forgive, that is holding me back, that is stopping your forgiveness being evident in my life, Lord Jesus. God, and I just pray right now that any person who is struggling with unforgiveness, that you would give them the grace and the boldness to forgive and let go and set free, that we can be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. And so just back to this guy, this friend that I've now been talking to, the Hindu, you know, they've obviously got all these other ideas about all sorts of things. And he asked me, for example, so how many types of Christians are there? And that was immediately, I don't want to say I felt condemned, but I felt really sad that, well, actually, there's heaps. There should only be one church. There shouldn't be all these different little groups and this church and that church and this church. We should all just be one because we're all serving the same God. And he said, What about Mary? Do you worship Mary? So obviously there's some background with the Roman Catholic. I'm not sure. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, how do we put the gospel forward to someone like this who's got all these questions? And so I made sure I told him, I said, man, I don't think I can answer all of these questions for you in a way that's, you know, how do you tell someone, because he talks about God and we pray to God and we believe, you know, how do you tell a person, well, if it's not the God who's the Father of Jesus Christ, you're speaking to nothing. How do you tell that to someone to genuinely do that? You know, and it makes you evaluate your own faith and your own belief and to go, okay, hang on, what do I really believe and what do I know? And, you know, he said, how do you know that Jesus was God then if he was born of a woman? Well, I believe that because that's what the Bible says and it's come true to me and I believe it. And so we have to be very gentle about these things, and I'm really praying that this youngster has been connected with me and his life is going to be different because of that. But I know that if I can hear the voice of God and speak into his life and say stuff, it'll be mind-blowing. Jesus was at a well and a Samaritan woman gave him water. And when the disciples came back, they were amazed. Why are you even talking to her? You shouldn't be talking to her. But Jesus told her, you're not with your husband. You're with your sixth husband or sixth person. You're not even married now. The person you're living with is your sixth partner. And she went back to the city, and that, it says that whole town got saved. That's what the Bible says. Because of someone hearing the voice of God and speaking to someone. How much difference can you make? Imagine if I go on Monday morning and I see this guy and I tell him a whole lot of stuff about his life. Say, God spoke to me on the weekend and this is what God said. Can you imagine? So my question to you is, how well do you know God? Are you listening to the voice? Are you speaking to God? That verse that I read in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful new relationship with God, because Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Folks, if you and I don't have that relationship that's getting to that level, then I believe we need to be more hungry, more desperate, and push in more to get that, because I believe it's available. If God hasn't changed. So if we don't have that relationship, the fault must lie on our side, and we need to grow and become more aware of what God is doing. So my question to you is, what are you going to do different this year that you can know Jesus more? And that you can be more excited about the return of Christ and live like you're excited about the return of Christ. I'm going to ask Nate and Catherine to come up. And I want to just, as I close, just two things for me that have probably changed my life the most. And I'm almost sure if you've been saved for a while, it'll be the same two things for you. And Ron will back me up, I hope. Is number one, the Bible. Reading the Bible. Knowing the Bible, reading it over and over and over. Get yourself a one-year Bible program if you have to and just read it. I'm quite a competitive person, and so I've got an app that I read on my phone, and it shows me how many days I've been reading for. Man, and I'm desperate to make sure that doesn't get a missed day. It says missed day when you miss one. That'll be brutal. I don't want to see a missed day. So I'll make sure, man, I'm onto it. So some nights I've had to, 11 o'clock, get onto it and read. And so I've made a thing, Pastor John Cameron once said, last thing he sees before he goes to bed is the scripture. And the first thing he sees when he wakes up is the scripture. And so I've done that, and I've been doing it for a while now, and it's phenomenal. So the Word of God will change you. I just heard on the radio yesterday, funny enough, and this guy was in the car with me, and it was Life FM, and they spoke about ministering to Hindus in, I think it was Indonesia or Nepal or something, I'm not sure. And I'm like, oh, please don't say anything bad. And they said that one of the most incredible ways they've been able to witness to these people has been through reading scripture. And I'm thinking, well, how do you get them to read scripture? And then they said, and what they found to be the most successful is Bible literacy programs, where they teach people to read, but they use the Bible to do it. And so what happens, they're reading the scripture that you and I have read all the time, and we go, oh yeah, read that, blah, blah, blah. But that scripture is alive and powerful, and they get saved. So if that's what's happening to them, we should be reading heaps more. So if you don't know God the way you want to, start reading the Bible more. And you might go, oh, this doesn't make sense to me. Well, keep reading it, because the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and you will see stuff, and God will change you. Okay? That's number one. Number two, and I hope Ron backs me up again, I got saved in 1978. And since 1978, I do not believe in 1 year I've missed more than 3 Sundays of church. Going to church is probably the second most important thing that has changed my walk with Jesus, knowing Jesus. How many other times a week do I get to spend an hour, hour and a half thinking about God? I don't know about you, but not a lot. And so I have made that thing in my life where I will go to church on a Sunday. My family and my kids will know I'm pretty inflexible about it. That's what I'm going to do. Because I believe that that has changed me and made me more like I am now and turning me more and more into the image of Christ. And so this morning, if you're saying, man, I'm a little bit slack in my Bible reading, or I'm a little bit slack with church attendance, which you're not because you're here today, which is awesome on the first Sunday. But why don't you say this year, I'm going to raise my excitement about the return of Jesus by reading the Bible more and being committed to coming to church every single Sunday. Because in His presence, you're in the Word of God, I've read Scripture, it will change your life. Is that right? Ron, am I good? Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. I'll pay you afterwards. Won't you stand to your feet, please? Stand to your feet. Amen.